Welcome to today's special edition of Go Beyond with Pastor Michael Urisha. Michael is an international speaker, songwriter, and the senior pastor of the Judah Ministries International Worship Center, located in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. If you are ever in the greater Pittsburgh area, be sure to come and visit us. For more information about our ministry, please feel free to visit our website at www.judahministries.net. Here's Pastor Michael.
So this morning, I want to speak to you about faith. Amen? About faith. I want to speak to you about faith and therefore pleasing our God. Because how many of you know the Bible says without faith, it's impossible. Y'all hear that? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But let me tell you, Judah, it's amazing, amazing what our God can accomplish through us individually and corporately when we just take a little step of faith. Just a little step of faith. I have a couple verses we're going to read. If you put that slide up there, it's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. If you've been around the church for a minute, you know this verse. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I like the Amplified version. I have that up there as well. It says, now faith is the assurance. It's the title deed. It's the confirmation of things hoped for, the things that are divinely guaranteed and the evidence of things not seen. It's the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends, I like this, as facts, what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. In other words, to simply put it, faith is not natural. It's supernatural. Faith is supernatural. So there's a lot of confusion in the church today concerning the topic of faith. If you've been around for a while, you're familiar with the phrase, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. Humans can speak things into existence, having faith in faith, not having faith in God. People today trying to make God their personal genie, thinking that God serves them. Huh? Oh, please don't get that backwards. God doesn't serve us. We serve Him. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. So let's not get that backwards. So, or the doctrine that went around here, you know, that our God, our Father is God, so that makes us little gods. And let me just wrap it up here. Heresy. It's heresy. Also, what's the difference between faith, hope, and trust? Faith, hope, and trust, I like to put it this way. They're cousins, if you will, right? Hope and trust are more passive, but faith is active. There has to be action to faith. Faith is not just positive confession. You know how many of you tell you got to, you know, keep speaking and keep speaking and keep speaking. Well, there's truth in some of that, but we just can't speak things into existence. I've yet to see one person speak a golf ball into existence or, any little thing. But our God speaks in the worlds created. So, you know, this whole thing of teaching positive confession, I believe in positive confession, but it's like the man was trying to teach his 8-year-old positive confession, talk positive, always talk positive. So he's hammering it into his son. His son goes to school one day and has a huge math exam. It's his finals, right? He takes his math exam. He comes on home, and the father's waiting for him. Well, son, how you do? I don't know, Daddy. I think I may have failed. He says, I'm teaching you to be positive. He said, okay, Dad, I'm positive. I failed. So you got to be careful how you use positive confession. Amen. But listen, the Bible's clear to say, listen, the power of life and death are in the tongue. Our tongue is full of seeds called words. Every time we talk, we're sowing seeds. Every time we open our mouth and our tongue is moving and there's breath coming through us, we are sowing seeds. The question on the floor then, how's your harvest coming along? What kind of seeds have you been sowing? Remember, it's a biblical principle. You reap and you sow, you reap and you sow, you reap and you sow. So whatever you're sowing, you are going to reap those seeds. Jesus said it this way. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in your heart? Or is it positive? Are you positive all the time? Or are you very negative? How many of you have been around negative Nellies before? What's in our heart? Is it positive or is it negative? Is our hearts full of love and gratefulness and with a good attitude? Or is it filled with bitterness and hatred? Listen, we control our hearts, church. We control what we think. Philippians, that's why Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 4. He said, think on these things, whatever things are lovely, pure, of a good report, whatever things are praiseworthy, think on these things. How many of you know that takes discipline? You know, they did studies. What is it, like 95% of the things that we worry about never even come to pass. But we spend all that time worrying about everything. And I know you've heard me say this 1,000 times here from this pulpit. You either got to worry or worship. We've got to make a choice. Worry will never allow you to accomplish anything, ever. So we control those things. It has to do with having a positive attitude. A positive attitude will always yield better results than a negative attitude. Can somebody say amen? Many times it's your attitude, not your aptitude, that will determine your ultimate altitude. This applies in our homes. This applies in a schoolhouse. This applies in your work or your career, and it also applies in the ministry. But listen, with Jesus Christ living in us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we should all have a positive attitude because he's come to give us life, and not just any life. He's come to give us life and that more abundantly. Jesus came to fill us with love and joy and peace and hope and a future. Jesus came to fill us with all these things. We need to receive them. So as Christians, as believers, we should walk around with a positive attitude. We should walk around with a smile on our face. We should walk around, be happy. Amen? Oh, come on, somebody help me say amen. Please don't let me go to my pocket because I have an amen in there if I need it, y'all. So there's several types of faith in the Bible. In your bulletin, you'll have a study guide. And you can look these all up later, but let me quickly go through them. First of all, if you put the first one up there, it's called saving faith. This is found in Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. So it takes faith for our salvation. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that nobody can boast. Romans 10 and 9. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, here it is, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So that is saving faith. There's also a childlike faith. Childlike faith is found in Mark chapter 10, verse 15. Jesus says, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child, like a little child, will never enter it. Matthew 18 and 3, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen a two-year-old worry about his next meal? Have you ever seen, oh, I wonder where I'm going to sleep tonight? A two-year, you ever see it? No, you never see this from a two-year-old. You know, you ever see a father with a small child and they're throwing them up and they're catching them? That child never once ponders if my father's going to catch me. I'm trying to say something here, y'all. Childlike faith. We are in our Father's hands. We should not worry. Jesus said, check out the sparrows. Aren't they taken care of? They neither reap nor sow, but your Father feeds them. Look at the lilies in the field. They don't ever worry about what they're going to wear, but they're dressed better than Solomon was, and Father took care of them. So we need to come to our Father with a childlike faith. He will meet all our needs. Not necessarily all our greeds, amen, somebody. Now we have persevering faith. James 1 and 12 says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. In Hebrews 10 and 36, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. So we need to have persevering type of faith when we're going through a storm. Anybody have gone through a storm before? Do I got a witness in the house? We have to have the hold on type of faith. Hold to his hand. God's unchanging hand. So sometimes we need to have persevering faith. The Bible also talks about the gift of faith. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For it is by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with, here it is, the faith God has distributed to each of you. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 and 9. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. Verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gift of healings by this one Spirit. So there is a gift of faith that God gives us occasionally. Remember, I told you at the top, faith is not natural. It's supernatural. The gift of faith, you can't explain it. It's inexplicable. Has anybody ever received the gift of faith at one point or another? You don't even know where it came from, but you know, come on somebody, that you know. It's not written anywhere. Nobody said it to you, but there's something deep inside that you know that you're going to be victorious somewhere. You can't even explain it. It doesn't make sense to the carnal mind. There's also an intellectual faith found in 1 Peter 3 and 15. It says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Proverbs 2, 3 and 5. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge in God. So listen, saints of God, there is a faith that comes by searching and understanding and knowledge. Amen. There is a faith that comes by intellectual reasoning. Christians are not dead from the neck up. Here, worship the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Worship him with your mind. There is an intellectual faith. Peter wrote, be prepared to give an intellectual answer for your hope, for your salvation. I'm hoping to do a series on apologetics coming soon. But because most people receive Jesus Christ through intellectual reasoning. We hear the gospel. Somebody shared the gospel with us. We took it into our mind and we considered it. We pondered it. We thought it through. We thought through it intellectually. Are y'all with me? After we considered it, yeah, it might be true. We put our trust, we put our faith in God. It now went down into our heart. You know that old saying, many people miss heaven by 18 inches, the distance from their brain to their heart, because it never makes it down. But once we get it into our heart, then it brings faith, then it brings behavioral change in our lives. But it starts in the brain. It starts in the mind. Repentance, metanoia in the Greek, means to what? Change your mind. It doesn't mean that you feel sorry for it. People think when you repent, you feel sorry. No. When people get arrested and they're going to jail, they feel sorry. It's too late. Repentance is a change of mind. It has nothing to do with your emotions. It has nothing to do with your feelings. So, number six, there is active faith. And we're going to talk about active faith here and bold faith here in a minute. But active faith is found in James 2:17. It says, in the same way, faith by itself, watch, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Matthew 7:21, this is a fearful verse, y'all. Not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about nominal Christians. Nominal Christians. People that have the name only, but the main need means nothing. Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom, but only those who do the will of my Father who sits in heaven. So faith takes action. If you are saved, you should be having some fruit in your life. If you're saved, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, good works should be following you along the way. We do not get saved. We do not attain salvation by our good works. Good works are evidence of our salvation. Our good deeds are the fruit of our salvation. It should follow the life of the believer. So faith without action, faith without deeds is dead. Somebody say dead. Yeah. Faith is proof positive that our faith is in Jesus Christ. Lastly is bold faith. Found in Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence or with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Matthew 17:20, truly I tell you, if you have faith, I love this, as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing, somebody say nothing. Nothing will be impossible for you. This verse serves as a reminder, saints of God, of the transformative power of faith. It highlights that faith, regardless of the size, it doesn't matter how much you have. It could be small as a grain of mustard seed, but that faith has the potential to move obstacles, to overcome challenges, and accomplish what might seem otherwise impossible in our lives. Just a grain of a mustard seed. So this morning we're going to focus on bold faith and active faith and in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many of you know here at Judah we are an evangelical church? We go. We take the gospel out. We need to get outside the four walls because the unsaved are outside these walls. We need to go. So I want to read a couple scriptures, our mandate from Jesus Christ himself, Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. The Bible says, Jesus speaking, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. After the Lord had spoken, this is verse 19, had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Acts chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before the very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. So these two passages record the last words of Jesus just prior to him leaving this earth. In other words, he's going back to heaven and he's giving the church the mandate. So in Mark 16 and 15 and in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, listen saints, we have clear marching orders directly from Jehovah Sabaoth, directly from the Lord of hosts, directly from Jesus Christ, our commander in chief. And those orders are to go. Somebody shout go. Not only to McKeesport, not only to Pittsburgh, not only to the USA, but around the earth. We are to take this gospel, this hidden treasure, everywhere we go in the name of Jesus. Now, I want to share a personal testimony how we arrived here at 525 Market Street. And I was thinking about this, and you know how back in the Old Testament, everything was verbally passed down. They would tell the story, and that's how they became to remember the stories that we read about today. As a matter of fact, many times they built little stone monuments, so when their children would pass by that monument, that's where they would remember, oh, this is where Joshua overthrew Jericho. And they would have different monuments around for remembrance sake. So I want to give a personal testimony how we ended up here. As many of you know, I was involved in the recording industry for more than 30 years, along with serving in the ministry in various capacities. Nearly 15 years ago, our family, we were sent on a quest to find a space to house our recording studio because our agreement for our previous space was terminated. At that time, listen, we had zero intention on purchasing a church building. None. I had no intentions, listen, church, on pastoring for that matter. It wasn't even on my radar. I never went to seminary. I never went to a Bible school. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? I don't have anything against education. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Education is a good thing. But I'm just telling you my path. I'm just telling you what God did in my life. I never planned, listen, overseeing a congregation. It wasn't my vision. However, had another vision. He had another plan. Come on, Jeremiah 29:11. I know y'all know this. I know the plans I have. God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. You might have plans today, and that's a good thing. It's okay. But hear me when I tell you, somebody, Father has plans for your life as well. And I've learned throughout my 40 years, God's plans are always, always, always the best plans. My God. I want to encourage somebody this morning, don't be afraid to set your plans aside and get on board with his plans. We're talking about a faith walk this morning. We're talking about by faith. Somebody shout by faith. So we began to search for a building, a new location for the recording studio back in August 2008 when our agreement from our previous building was terminated. During that search, during that transition time, God started moving in my heart. He started laying on my heart about having Saturday night worship services, not necessarily to have a church, but just to have worship services, because for years, the Judah Ministries praise team used to travel all over the city holding worship services at different churches that would have us. At our home church, we would have it once a month or so. We even went overseas doing worship conferences and worship service. So I said, well, you know what? If we're going to get a studio, why don't we get a place that, you know, maybe can seat a few people, and we could have our own worship services. Sounded like a good plan to me. Sometimes, listen, God has to remove us from our comfort zone to get our attention. It was in the transition time, it was in my wilderness time that God began to speak to my spirit, man, because now I was open. Listen, I had to be fired from another church. How could Christians fire you, Pastor? Well, let me tell you something. That didn't happen once, Pastor DeLise. It happened two times. Y'all know what it is, the left foot of fellowship. Anybody ever received the left foot of fellowship somewhere along the line? Y'all hear what I'm saying? But many times, listen, saints, it's not until we get to that place between a rock and a hard place, then our ears perk up a little bit. Oh, God, what are you saying? What are you saying, Lord? You're saying to do what? You're saying to go where? How many of you know God knows how to get our attention? But how many of you know that as soon as we begin to take steps in our faith walk, God begins to give us new revelation. He begins to give us new vision. He begins to give us expanded vision. He begins to open doors that we never thought would open. God will begin to arrange divine appointments. You'll meet people and develop relationship, and it's all for the glory of His kingdom. But listen, here it is, saints. We have to take the initiative. We have to take the steps so that God can direct them. We have to get up off our assets and begin to invest ourselves into the kingdom of God. God cannot drive a parked car. We got to get moving. We must be willing, listen, to say, "Here am I, Lord. Send me, and without conditions." And then when He sends you, my friend, go. Don't try to debate Him. Don't try to negotiate the terms of the agreement. Just go. God is looking for somebody with some obedience. Listen, it's one thing to hear the voice of the Lord, but it's a whole other thing to take a step of faith and trust Him in the thing that He told you. Go. You can't say, "I'll go to the mission field if I get a 5-star hotel. I'll go on the mission field if I can fly first class and have a proper toilet." Because out in the mission field, listen, especially ladies, sometimes, I don't watch myself here. Aiming for a hole in the ground in the dark is not so easy. Come on, do I got a witness? Well, no, everything has to be perfect before I go. Everything has to be paid for. Come on, saints, we're talking about faith. If your vision, not God's vision, if your vision isn't larger than your bank account, if it's not larger than your intellect, if it's not larger than your human resources, my friend, then it's not your vision, or it's not God's vision. That's your vision. Because God's vision will always exceed your bank account. Oh, I wish somebody would help me out and say amen there. Because He's the provider. Because He's going to get the glory. Instead of if kind of faith, we need even if kind of faith. Kind of like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We need even if kind of faith. Even if I have to pay my own way. Even if I have to do a fundraiser. Even if I have to go without sleep or a meal. Lord, send me. Here I am. I'll go. Come on, is there anybody like that in here this morning? Listen, saints of God, you will be amazed at how God will show up as Jehovah Jireh. He will provide. You'll be amazed what He accomplishes through us and in us when we place ourselves in a place of faith and trust in Him alone. Now, I know I've shared some of these testimonies before with you, but we're talking about by faith. Somebody say by faith. I think I have a slide here, Caleb. My first trip to India, 2015, first time going, first of all, I flew Pittsburgh to Boston, got to Boston. I didn't have a visa because they changed the laws. They wouldn't let me board the flight overseas. So I had to hotel up in Boston, had to sleep 2 nights. It was in January. I mean, it was miserable weather. I had no passport. So I'm online talking to guys in India. We're trying to get, finally, I get a passport. And then I board the flight. I lost all my money for the flight because it was non-refundable because they just considered me a no-show. But I fly to India some 25, 30 hours, get there. From there, we drive to the coast, which was another 13 hours. Brother man was exhausted. Are you hearing me? So we drive all the way to the coast. We get there about 9 o'clock in the evening, and a pastor has us over for dinner. So we go in and we have some nice biryani and big curry. I mean, he had everything spread out. Now, how many of you know you eat a bunch of rice at 9 o'clock at night? It's nap time, somebody. But after all of this, we're sitting around. Okay, pastor, you ready to go preach? I'm like, say what? Yeah, there's a we're having a church service, and but so many people came out, we couldn't even hold it in the small room where we're going to do it at an open air meeting. I said, all right, let's go. So we drive an hour to this place. It's 10 o'clock at night. I've been traveling for, I don't know, 2 days. I'm exhausted. Let me tell you something, all right? Can I confess something to you? I did not feel like preaching the gospel of Jesus. I'm a human being, somebody. I am not a robot. I wanted to go find a BED, somebody. But God. I said, all right, let's go. So we get there, and it's an Indian village where there's no electric, and the only thing you could see is the headlights, you know. And I see all these little elephants and little donkeys and monkeys and, you know, statues of everything because of the idolatry there. So we finally pull over, and we're going up this building. And I'm not exaggerating when I tell you this, church. We had to go up to a rooftop. It was like, I felt like I was in the book of Acts. I mean, it was like New Testament kind of dirt roads. We're walking up these steps, and there's like no guide rail. I mean, and they're only about this wide. I don't know if you know, but I'm not like a real little man. So I'm going up these steps. We're using our flashlights of our phones so we could get up there because there's no lights. Finally, we get to the top. There's probably about 80 people on this rooftop just sitting on the ground. They've been waiting for hours because there was a preacher from America coming. So they're sitting there, and I get up there, and they have a little generator. They have one light bulb hanging. That was it. Now, okay, here's the preacher. Preach, preacher, you know. Now, I'm a note preacher. I like to read my Bible here and there. There was no light. I couldn't see any. I didn't have no internet access. I couldn't see anything. So basically, listen, church. I just laid out a simple gospel message, probably 10 minutes long. I said, listen, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is everybody a sinner? Yes, there's one God, not millions of God. He gave his one and only begotten Son in Jesus Christ. Come on, you know the story. Jesus Christ. I said, if there's anybody here today that wants to receive the forgiveness of their sin and call on the name of Jesus, I want you to come to the altar. Every person on the altar there came to the altar. This is a photo up on the screen from that service. You can't even see most of the people because it's so dark up there. There was one light bulb. Off in the distance, I could see shadows of other people standing on the rooftops of other buildings. We were there till 2 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning, praying for every family that came to Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, church. I did not feel like preaching the gospel. But in spite of myself, oh, come on, somebody. I don't care what you don't feel like doing when God has called you to a task. We must be faithful to what God has called us to. Our God is faithful. During my first trip to Malawi, 2014, Pastor Barbara, the first time I met her, she asked me if I was willing to go to the bush to preach the gospel. I said, listen, I'm here. I'll go anywhere, preach anywhere. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. So we go out into the bush. I think we have a slide. There it is. I'll go out into the bush. So we drive, I don't know, a couple of hours out into now what we know as Chiputu Village. There was no church there. There are a bunch of people underneath a pavilion, maybe about 100 people, 120 people or so. I present the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. Dozens of people got saved that day. Last year, in September, we took a contribution here. We raised up enough money. We built a brand new church in that village. Come on, somebody. Because of being faithful, it isn't what I wanted to do. I just said, I'm here. Use me, Lord. Listen to me. God is no respecter of persons. If he could use a donkey, there's hope for me, somebody. So 2019, or no, where are we at now? 23. 2022. Help me, Lord Jesus. We built a church over there and dedicated a church building. While we were over there, we held soccer crusades throughout the area. We had thousands of people. Deacon Gary and Caleb went on the trip. Thousands of people come to these crusades, and hundreds of them giving their life to Jesus Christ. All because one servant said, Lord, here am I. Send me and I'll go. We're talking about faith. Listen, please don't ever think this is about me. This is not about Judah Ministries. This is about God Almighty working through a willing servant. This was never my plan, saints of God. Let me say this. A place of faith is never a comfort zone. It's never a safe space. It's never a place of complacency. Faith place is unpredictable. The only thing that you can expect is the unexpected. The faith walk will always stretch you, grind you, challenge you to do more than you think is possible. It will always challenge you to give more than you think is probable. But faith is the place where God will always move. Because without faith, it's impossible, somebody. It's impossible to please God. By faith, which is where God moves. Faith is a key ingredient for miracles. Faith is the environment where God can reconcile relationships. Faith is the place where God heals. Faith is the place where God will deliver. It's by faith. They're coming to this place here. When we came to this building, this was not the first building that we tried to purchase. The first building we tried to purchase was over in Duquesne across the river. A year and a half, we fought with the zoning board, the city council. I met with the mayor several times trying to get a zoning exception. We lost a couple $1,000s in the process, 18 months of time. We were praying. We were fasting. We were meeting. Surely this is the place God has for us. Finally, the door closed. Remember, it's God's will that we desire, not our own. That's why we pray, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Is there frustration in the faith walk? Absolutely. Is there disappointment? Yes. Is there hurt? Yes. There will always, listen, don't miss this, there will always be a battle prior to entering the promised plan that God has for your life. The devil's not just going to give up. Never. He will never just give up. But the word of God says, 2 Corinthians 2:14, but thanks be unto God, which always, somebody say always, always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. I'm here to tell somebody, there's no weapon formed against you that can prosper. I'm here to tell somebody that I am more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell somebody I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I wish somebody in this house would give our God a praise right there. We're talking by faith this morning, saints of God. So that deal fell apart. We heard about another building that became available right across the street over here, called the Jason's Building. We took a look at it. We had roofers come out, HVAC people come out, the fire chief came out to inspect it. We wanted to make sure that we were purchasing a decent building. We made a ridiculously low offer, 30% of the asking price, and they accepted it. Surely this was the place.
Come on now. Come on now.
Less money, bigger building, better location. Our expectations were high. We even began to do our happy dance. Thank you, Jesus. This has to be the favor of God. This has to be our promised land, right? Wrong. However, there was one other hurdle to jump for this building. It was another zoning issue because it was not zoned for a place of worship, and we made no bones about it. We are going to a place that we can worship. We had to go to city council for zoning approval, so we spent another $500 just to have the meeting. The real estate agent, listen, I played golf with the mayor at the time. No problem, like a hot knife through butter. You'll have the building, and it won't be a problem. So we go to the first meeting. And in the meantime, before we go to that meeting, I get a phone call from a lady who said, hey, I seen there's a notice in the paper that you're trying to purchase a ministry property in McKeesport. I said, that's true. She says, well, listen, we have a church for sale. Listen, not interested. We already have a deal in place. Thank you for the call. But just in case, can I have your phone number? That may have been the wisest thing I've ever done in my life. So we go to the first meeting. And there was Pastor Robert Holmes, my brother-in-law Fielding, Darla, and myself. We get there, and they're talking about the building, and they tabled the decision. Yeah. Yay or nay, they didn't come up with a decision. Right there, the red flag went up.
That's it.
I said, something smells rotten in Denmark. So we walked outside the building, which is right over here is where they have their council meetings, and we stand outside on the corner. So I didn't even tell anybody else, none of the deacons at the time, about the phone call because I didn't want to muddy the waters. I didn't want to throw any confusion at the camp. We already had something in place. We were moving. So stood outside the corner, and Pastor Holmes and my brother-in-law was there, and Darla and I told him, listen, we got a phone call about that church right over there because you could see it. And we looked at it. We're like, for real? We're just a little praise team trying to find a place for a recording studio. I says, let's just take a walk over. So we walked over here. It was at night. We just walked around like Joshua, right? We were just praying and seeing what God would do. Would you have this place for us, Lord? Because it's not my will, but thy will. So 30 days later, we go back to the second meeting. We're sitting there. I'd gone to this meeting by myself, and as I'm sitting there, they finally come to my case, and they say about the property at Market or the Jason's building, and they voted it down. We could not purchase the building. So at that point, I could have been negative. I could have been upset. I stood up. I walked to every council member, and I shook their hand. I said, thank you so much. You know the... Deer and the dogs, you know how they, what manner of man is this? We rejected you. Did you understand? Bless you. Thank you so much. Bless you. Because listen, saints of God, we must remember that our lives are in the hands of our Father. So we came over to here. And we began to meet with the sales committee, and I had the first meeting with them, which is in my office now, and there was like just myself, and there was about eight of them, and we're sitting around, and they're talking about the building and how much, blah, 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 blah. So they asked me a question, well, how what kind of a budget do you have? I said, we don't have one. And they're looking at me. I said, well, how large is your congregation? I said, well, we don't have one of those either. And they just looked at me. I says, listen. And I said, I'm not trying to be hyper spiritual or super spiritual right here. I said, but if my Father has this building for us, we will have it. And if not, we're okay with it. Listen, saints of God, there is something to be said about being in the perfect will of God, being obedient, being in his perfect place of peace. Remember Jesus going across the sea and a storm came up and he was sleeping on my pillow. He was taking a nap in the midst of the storm. Why? Because he knew that he was in his Father's hands. I want to encourage somebody today. I don't care what the devil's bringing against you. I don't care what kind of hell you might be going through at home. I don't care what's going on in your life. Your life is in the hand of your Father, God. He will bring it to fruition. So the first building went down. The second building went down. We came to this building. We're praying and fasting. We walked through here. We're like, my God. The furnace was broke. We're going into winter. How are we going to heat this place? How are we going to pay the electric bill? Listen to me. We had $50 in a church account. I didn't misspeak. $50 in the church account. How are we going to keep this place going? We'll never make it. So I met with the committee. We sat around. They came up with some terms. We went to the attorney to close. Thank God the attorney says, listen, I'm not even going to charge you for this. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Because I might have to go down to the pond and see if there's a fish coming around with some money coming out of its mouth. But I'm talking about walking by faith. Saints, we don't always see what's right in front of us. We just, come on, I'm trying to encourage somebody. Just keep taking the next step. Keep on walking. Don't look back. Keep looking ahead. God will provide the way. Is he Jehovah Jireh or not? Will he not make a way or not? Is he a way maker or not? God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or even think in these puny little brains, because he's God. So Pastor Holmes and I was walking through the sanctuary one day, and we're like, oh my God, what are we going to do? He said, brother, how many chicken dinners are we going to have to pay this building off? That was an ongoing joke with us for years, because we never had one chicken dinner to raise any money to pay this building off. But yet today, for 13 years, we've been feeding the community. Come on, somebody. Every week. Oh, I'm telling you, our God reigns. Our God is able. Listen, one morning when we were going through all this, I was reading the book of Judges, chapter 20. And everything's not settled yet. And I was reading, and the Lord told the Israelites to go to battle against the Benjamites. In the first battle, they went out, they were obedient to God, they went out, and they lost 22,000 soldiers in the first battle. God told them to go. They lost 22,000. If the Lord says go, shouldn't I always get the victory? Listen, watch. Sometimes the Lord needs to clear some things out of your life. He needs to remove some baggage out of your life. Everybody can't go to where you're going. I hope somebody's hearing that. Everybody's not going to be with you where you're going. Everybody can't breathe rarefied air. God has called you there. Sometimes everybody can't go where we're going. So they come back and they prayed and they fasted and they says, Lord, didn't we hear you? The Lord said, go out tomorrow. They go out the next day. They lost another 18,000 people 2 days in a row. They come back with their tails between their legs. Lord, are we hearing? Come on, is anybody in that place before? God, I'm thinking I'm obedient. I'm thinking I'm hearing your voice, but it's defeat after defeat after defeat after defeat. They go out and lose 18,000. Are we hearing you? Sackcloth and ashes and fasting and saying, Lord, we're not sure if we're hearing you. The third battle, they go out again in faith and in obedience. The Bible says they were losing again, but that the hand of the Lord, oh, come on, somebody, turned the victory around and gave the Israelites the victory. I'm telling you, we serve a God of the suddenlies. You just keep walking in faith, and in a moment's time, God's going to turn the thing around. I'm trying to tell somebody this morning, remain faithful, because it ain't over until my God says it's over. He will write the last chapter of your book. He has the final say in all matters. When I was reading that story in my office, the Lord spoke to me. He gave me a rhema. He gave me a revelation. And he was saying to me, this, my son, is your battle. The first battle was in Duquesne. The second battle was in Jason's building. You lost those two, but now I'm going to turn it around, and this is going to be your victory. I knew it was the gift of faith. Nobody could tell me anything different. I walked upstairs and I told Dar. I says, Dar, I says, I can't even put this into words, but I'm just reading through Judges, and God said that building is ours. I don't know how it's going to work. We had $50 in a bank account, but I received that gift of faith that morning. Listen, saints of God, I'm almost done. When God speaks, do we understand everything? Did Peter understand walking on water when Jesus bid him to come out? No. There was nothing to understand. It was by faith. Did the disciples, did they understand how to feed 5,000 people with just a couple fishes and a couple loaves? No. It was by faith. Did Moses understand how God would part the sea, feed millions of people, and give them drink into the desert and heal every single one of them to make the journey? Did he understand that? No, he did not. It was by faith. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into your mind the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Don't miss this next line. But he will reveal it to you by the power of his Spirit. I wish somebody would give our God a praise. He'll reveal it to you. Your mind won't conceive it. Don't try to understand where God is taking you, my brother. Is there trepidation at times? Absolutely. Does doubt try to creep in? Yes. Is there fear at times? Yes. Faith is not the absence of fear. It's the ability to overcome it. Amen. Caleb and Joshua, they saw the same things the 10 other spies saw. They all saw the same situation. There were giants in the land, but it was a land flowing with milk and honey, but were greatly outnumbered. The 10 sissy pants, can I say that? In our politically correct world. The sissy pants said, no, we're scared. We're scared. Listen, either you're going to walk by faith or you're going to stop by fear. But Caleb and Joshua, they says, they're little nothings to our God. We already seen what he did. We saw him part the Red Sea. We saw him feed millions. We know what our God can do. These people are nothing. Sometimes, saints of God, there's a fine line between faith and foolishness. The faith walk, listen, looks crazy to the world. And sometimes even to the saints of God. Listen, I want to help somebody right here. Watch this. When you make a faith decision, you will not always have the person in your pew or your family member encouraging you. They will not always be your cheerleaders. Your BFF won't be saying, you go, girl. All of Israel grumbled against Moses and Joshua and Caleb. The faith walk is a minority walk.
Yes, it is.
There's not a lot of traffic on the faith walk. As a matter of fact, sometimes, listen, it's the saints of God that will try to talk you out of your destiny with God. It's church folk that will try to call you out of your calling or your blessing or your promised land. Listen, church, we walk by faith, not by sight. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Caleb, I need you to throw this last scripture up here and then we're done. Hebrews chapter 11. Listen, we can read throughout the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, of those who accomplished great things in the Bible. We could read about Abraham and Moses and Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. We could read about Peter and Paul and John and on and on and on. But the writer of Hebrews writes in verse 32, chapter 1, he says, and what more can I say to you? I ain't got time. That's not exactly what it says, but this is McKeesport language, somebody. I ain't got time to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and prophets. We'd be here till tomorrow. Who through faith, somebody say through faith. conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury, fierce flame, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. What short more can I say? I'd be here all day. But there were women who received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain even a better resurrection. Some faced jeers, flogging, chains, imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two, killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskins and destitute and persecuted and mistreated. Watch this, verse 38. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts, mountains, lived in caves and in holes in the ground. They were commended for what? Their faith. Somebody say, by faith. Yet none of them received what they had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. He's speaking about Jesus. Jump over to the next chapter, verse 1. It says, therefore, somebody say, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Here it is. Come on, church. Fixing our eyes on who? Jesus. Come on who? Jesus. On Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I wish somebody in the house would give God a praise for Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. We're talking about a faith walk this morning. It's not an easy walk, somebody. Christianity is not tiptoe through the tulips. You will step in some thorns along the way. You will be rejected along the way. You're going to be told you're not good enough along the way. You're going to be told you're not the right gender along the way. You're going to be told you're not the right race along the way. You're too fat. You're too skinny. You're too tall. You're too short. Come on, somebody. When God has called you to something, you have that gift of faith within you. You know it to be true. You know that you know that you know. Saints, we have to be like Joshua. Have the courage to walk in faith. Whether that means walking away from something or walking into something. Every relationship that comes your way, my friend, is not a godly relationship. That's why you need to know the Word of God. Because we walk by faith. It's all through His Word, how we're to live our lives and how we're to walk this faith walk. But I just gave you a few examples of what God did through us here at Judah Ministries. Coming in on 13 years, I had no idea. I had no plans. This was not my desire, but it was His plan. When we walk according to His will, we have perfect peace. There's no better place, and I tell this to my children. I said, there's no better place to be than in the perfect will of God. How do I know that? Because I've been out of His perfect will. Come on, do I got a witness in this house? It's miserable. Can I have an amen? Amen. So we need to walk by faith. Listen to the voice of God. Read the Bible. He will speak to our hearts. We read at the beginning. Jesus gave us a commandment. Go ye, therefore, into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other parts. Go to McKeesport, to Pittsburgh, to New York, to the USA, to Africa, to India, to Pakistan. Go and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. For those who believe will be saved. Those who do not will be condemned. I don't know about you, but I want some jewels in my crown. I want to hear, this is all I want to hear. Well done. That's all. That's all I want to hear. Doesn't have to be a big ceremony. No. Just well done. My good and faithful. My good and faithful. My good and faithful servant. So let's be some faithful servants of God. Amen. Come on, put your hands together and praise Him. Stand with me, please. I can tell you, saints of God, there is no more exciting walk than with Jesus. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing can even compare to it. Of course, there's trials and tribulation. Jesus said that. He says, in this world, you'll have tribulation. But, but, I have overcome the world. There's not a closer friend that you will ever have than Jesus. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I know that to be true in the Word of God, and I know that to be true through personal testimony. I don't know if I shared this last week here or not. I shared it somewhere. Maybe it was a teen challenge this past week, but I remember being homeless at one point in my life, living in a flea bag hotel. Homeless! I tried to pray. It was like praying to the walls. It was like heaven was shut up. Where are you, God? I tried to read the Word of God. I'd read it for a half an hour, hour. I couldn't tell you one sentence that I read. Nothing was coming through. Nothing. I got out my guitar and tried to worship a little bit. No, it was dead, dead, dead. Come on, do I got a witness in this house? Lord, where are you? I know I'm yours. Your Bible tells me, your Word tells me, but where are you, God? I need you now. I need you now. I happened to stumble across a verse in Timothy that says, even when you're faithless, come on, anybody been faithless? We're talking about faith. Even when you're faithless, my son, I remain faithful to you because I cannot deny myself. Oh, that's good news right there. And then God began to turn things around. We just need to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Listen, you stay faithful to His word. You stay faithful to a holy walk. I'm going to say that one again because I didn't hear one amen. You stay faithful to a holy walk. Thank you. And God will turn things around out of nowhere, out of nowhere. I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but you know the story about Darla and I and the boys were coming home from a ministry night to buy some bread and milk for the kids. They were little, and we met a young man there, was from India. He's like one of our best friends now. He opened the whole doors to India. I'm telling you, you will meet people in the wildest places that will turn things around in your life, that will open doors in your life. Amen. Stay with a praise on your lip, the sword in your hand, like Psalm 149 says. You just keep being the warrior that God has called you to be. You keep taking back the territory that God has called you to take. God will make a way. He is Jehovah Jireh. Amen. Hallelujah.
To every nation, to every generation, to all creation, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. To every nation, every generation, to all creation, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus.